It seems that the effects of nasal obstruction and mouth breathing have been debated forever amongst orthodontists. In the early 1970s, the work of Linda Aronson and Harvold related to the effects of nasal airway blockage on the development of the teeth and face focused attention on the possible harmful effects of mouth breathing. An article titled "Dental Arch Dimensional Changes After Adenotonsillectomy in Prepubertal Children" by Anna Christina Petrikon-Kylexa et al., which appeared in the April 2014 issue of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics, has shed some further light on this relationship. In their study, the authors evaluated 49 prepubertal severely obstructed mouth-breathing children and 46 nasal-breathing children. The mouth-breathing group was divided into two subgroups, one of which underwent adenotonsillectomy, and the other, in whom the mouth-breathing pattern was unchanged during a one-year study period, composed the control group. The reason that the authors could develop a subgroup of mouth-breathing patients that were not treated to serve as a control group was that the children in this group were on a waiting list for authorization for tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy from the Municipal Health Service in Brazil. During the time of the sample collection, it generally took more than 1 year for surgical approval because of high demand and low availability. Therefore, there was no ethical problem created by not treating these patients, and they could be legitimately used as a matched control group. Dental casts were taken of the 95 participants in this study, that is, 49 mouth-breathing patients and 46 nasal-breathing patients, at baseline and again approximately 1 year later. The dental casts were used to make 9 measurements for each patient, namely, maxillary and mandibular intercanine width, maxillary and mandibular intermolar width, maxillary and mandibular dental arch length, maxillary and mandibular dental arch perimeter, and maxillary palatal depth. At baseline, when the mouth-breathing patients were compared with the nasal-breathing group, the mouth-breathers had significantly higher palatal depth, mandibular intercanine width, mandibular second molar width, and shorter mandibular arch length. Basically, when mouth breathers and nasal breathers were compared, the mouth breathers had wider mandibular arches and higher palatal vaults. When the two mouth breathing subgroups were compared 1 year after baseline, the tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy subgroup had a significantly different pattern of arch development compared with the untreated control group. The mouth breathing children who received adenoid tonsillectomies showed greater maxillary intercanine and intermolar development than did the untreated mouth breathing group, and the palatal vault deepened in the untreated mouth breathing children. The bottom line of this study is adenotonsillectomies do influence arch development in adolescent children. I want to point out again that a big advantage of this study was having the mouth-breathing subgroup that did not receive treatment to use as a matched control without violating any ethical principles, because the reason that they were not treated was the over a year wait for approval after applying for treatment in the Public Health Service. You can find this article in the April 2014 issue of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics.